Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Show, and you know it is my honor to serve as your hostess for this evening. And I'll tell you guys, every week Tuesday is my favorite day, and so here we are. So I've got a wonderful, magnificent, outstanding guest tonight that you're going to truly appreciate once we bring him on. But you know, there's always a few things that we need to do to get ourselves in order, in line. And so the very first thing that we do is we pay honor and homage to our ancestors, to all of the ancestors, for being with us always, but especially on Tuesdays, as we discuss issues and topics that are not ordinarily talked about in an open environment. You know, people may whisper it in a corner or whisper it under their breath, but not openly. And so that's what we come to do here on Life, Love, and Wellness, is to bring these issues to the forefront. And so we know that we're standing on the shoulders of our ancestors for strength and for courage and all that we need in order to carry that vision forward. So we trust that they got us, man. They got our fronts, they got our backs, they got our tops and our bottoms as we move forward. So we love you, ancestors. We love you now and forever. I have a report of two new ancestors, two very close friends of mine, Betty McCall from Los Angeles or Compton, California, and Timothy Branch. These individuals, very close, and they've died within, have made their transition to the other dimension over the last few days. So keep the families in prayer, and we know that they got us, and they doing all that they know to do from wherever they are. So, yes, we're going to move right along as we anchor ourselves in positive energy by doing an affirmative reading, and it actually comes from one of my daily inspirational messages that you can find at revsandy.wordpress.com, and the message is called Greatness is Within. Within you is the greatest person ever known. Permission is hereby granted to you to accept this fact and live it in absolute confidence. You are great. You are wise. You are more than what you see in a mirror. You are infinite spirit and inexhaustible power. You possess greatness. You are royalty. You are magnificent. You are a shining light. Yes, I'm talking about you. You have the all-knowing source as part of your DNA. In your bloodline is the powerful, omniscient creator. Your heart is pumping with Allah presence and protection. Buddha is in your cells. Jehovah radiates in your being. Jesus is alive in you, all the ascended masters are breathing air into your lungs. The ancestors' strength and perseverance is in your bone marrow. You are fully equipped with absolutely everything you require to accomplish whatever it is you desire to accomplish. So just recognize who you are, and incredibly remarkable, unrepeatable miracle. There is greatness inside of you. Have you recognized it? Do you honor it? Must it be repeated? Okay, then. You are great. Accept and commit to your greatness today. Live your life in absolute faith. Know that you are truly gifted with each and every little thing you require to manifest exactly what you choose, because greatness is within you. Again, you can find that at RevSandy.wordpress.com. Oh, tonight's show is called The Church Inside of You, and our guest is Sante Kenny, and this man is just absolutely on fire. So let me give you a couple of housekeeping tips, and then we're going to bring Mr. Kenny on with us. So, audience, you know you're always invited to join in the discussion, and all comments are welcomed, and our intent is to hear every voice that wants to be heard. So our call-in number is 516-531-9819. If you wish to speak live on air with us, just push 1 on your dial. Otherwise, just kick back and listen to the show. That's completely your choice. But there is one request, because our microphones are so sensitive, and most of our listeners go back and listen to our shows over and over again. Once your line is open, if you're not speaking, if you would just mute your phone, that would really increase the quality of the sound that is available on the playback. And you may think that you're just putting down an ink pen on a table. It's not going to hurt anything, but it does. We can hear it. So please, if you're not speaking, would you just mute your phone for us? And you can always go and listen to any of the playbacks of our shows at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SandyRogers. Whew, I tell you, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take us a quick music break, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce Mr. Kenny to you, and we're going to get started with this conversation. We'll be right back, you guys.
Talk to God in the morning time.
Talk to God.
God, and that is recorded, produced by my nephew, Anthony A.K. King. Please support his work. He is magnificent, and not just saying that because I'm his auntie. His music really is outstanding. So he's at www.anthonyakking.com, and that's called Talk to God. So, yes. So, yeah, I'm setting you up. I'm setting you up for this show. So, welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Man, I tell you, look, let me give you this number one more time, and then Mr. Kenny's going to come on. And once he gets started, y'all just buckle up your belt and get ready for the ride, okay? So, the call-in number here is 516-531-9819. If you want to speak live with us, press 1. Otherwise, just sit back, enjoy the conversation. If you happen to call in, otherwise, you know, online, we can't answer you live. So check it out. Mr. Sante, you there with us, baby?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I'm here.
Ooh, thank you for taking time and for being with us this evening. I want to hear your story. I want you to tell your powerful story to the audience as well.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say the honor is mine. Thank you for taking the time out to listen to me, first of all.
Yes, sir.
And secondly, my story is really not a unique one because it's unique in my way. But there are a lot of people that have gone through my story but have not been able to reach such platforms, so to speak, and did not have the support system that I had, so they fell off to the wayside. So I guess I start from the beginning, or where should I start?
What I would like for you to do is perhaps tell the audience how old you are, and you know the first thing that when we talked, you said I've spent half my life in the institution. I like that because that tells your story right up front. It cast out any doubts as to, you know, what's been going on with you. Now, we could just build it on from there. How about that?
Okay, let's do that. Okay. I'm 41 years old, and as Miss Sandy said, I have spent half my life in an institution, you know, going through the juvenile system. When I was 17, just turned 17, I was convicted of an armed robbery and did 10 years in prison, got out, you know, and in this process, I learned to write, got out, and on the inside, there are a lot of struggles. I wouldn't know, how could you say it? I wasn't the gangster there. Prison never kept me captured mentally or spiritually, but it kept me captured emotionally in some ways. But at the end of the day, I bettered myself there and came home with the intentions of being this great writer and this great guy. Not saying that I am not now. I'm on the road to it. However, there are some things in life, and this is why we are talking about the church within, because at the end of the day, sometimes you can allow yourself to listen to the people that are closest to you and say, no, I ain't ready, instead of listening to the voice of God who's in you and saying, come on, man, come on. You know, it's the difference between listening to a coach and listening to your mama. Boy, you got hit too hard out there on that football field. You know, if I can say it like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And in the process, my faith kind of dwindled. Not the faith in God, but the faith in what God put in me. Because appointed people will tell you that you're not anointed because they want you to stand where they are. If I can say that like that.
Please, please listen. I'm taking notes. Yes, sir.
But at the end of the day, they want you to stay where you are, or where they are, because it ain't that they don't want you to see you. They don't want to see you shine. It's because they might not be able to go with you. And the reason they don't want to go with you is because they don't want to cut some stuff out of their life. You know, or they can't understand the vision. And the book of Proverbs, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And if you can't see tomorrow, of course you're going to want to lay down and die.
Yeah,
but you don't want to lose the person that's closest to you. You want to take them with you. It goes back to the crab in the bucket mentality. And I also had people that I looked up to, you know, as far as my walk with God. That would say, no, you ain't ready yet. You know, and this ain't even the first people I was talking about were the non-believers or the ones that just read the Book of Psalms every day. You know, or the ones that when they are feeling down, go pull out the Bible. And I'm just gonna let it flow how it flow. If you don't mind.
Please do. That's the only way we're going to do it.
Okay. See, some people tend to treat God like a doctor. They only go to him when they're sick. You know. But they don't have a personal relationship when either they done been told that this is irreversible or, hey, man, we got you. I can help you. They might send him a card 6 months later after they done got out of the hospital, but after that, they done gone on about their life and forgot about that doctor.
Mm.
Now, we're talking about the church within, and see, the thing about God, and I'm going to say this, it's a personal relationship. There's a very big difference in the way that people perceive this, and that is because we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And the lack of knowledge comes from this. You looking to the preacher to save your life, he can't save you.
Yes, sir.
The temple of God is the church of God, and I don't mean the church as far as the institution is concerned, because there's a difference. The church is the body of Christ. It's not that building you go to.
Mm-hmm.
See, because when Jesus walked, he preached and talked in the wilderness. He taught on the side of the street. He walked around. And in fact, I'm going to take it even a little deeper. There's only one building that God told somebody to erect. Well, actually two. The first one was the one from Moses, the first temple. The second one came from Solomon. The building don't mean nothing. The building comes from tradition. Secondly, the first, if you want to say the first church, was held in somebody's upper room, and they were hiding out. If you go to the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 10. Don't quote me on that, though. So with all of that said, then we go back to what Paul said, don't you know that your body is a temple? Let me backtrack a little bit. And the reason that temple was built was to hold the Ark of the Covenant, because it couldn't stand out. When Moses came down from the mountain, he had to put a veil on his face. But before he did that, he had to go see a burning bush, and that was personal. The second thing is Moses said he called me a friend. I call him my friend. So how can a building be my friend? It can't. There has to be interaction. A man ain't going to marry a woman that he don't know unless that's his custom. And then
right.
The woman ain't going to marry a man unless it's their custom. So I'm gonna keep it on both sides, because I don't want nobody to say, oh, well, you just talking about a man, and I don't want women to feel left out. But I'm just speaking in general, because the thing is, I can't call anyone a friend unless I know them. See, and I'm gonna go back, and I'm gonna get a little deeper, you know.
I'm liking how you connect all the dots. So go right ahead, take your time with
it. So, in this modern day thing, as far as the church as an institution is concerned, tradition can't save you. Did you know when there was a time, and I'm speaking to the listeners, there was a time a woman couldn't wear a hat. But now when you go to the, and I'm just going talking about the churches I go to sometimes on occasion, you can't even see the pastor because the lady hat's so big.
Especially on holidays, right?
Yeah. You know, now see, this is where it's going to get rough for some people. I don't understand, and I'm going to come. I'm going to bring it back full circle. I don't understand that. How is it possible for the body of Christ to be separated from itself and to become an institution?
Okay.
See, because in this institution, what we're more concerned about is, did Miss Sally over here tithe her 10%? Or if Bobby Joe can read 2-3 Bible verses when we get him up there and put him on in front of the mic. Now watch this. But there's some people out there that really need you, and you just worried about the show. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, because I can see. The foot can't say, I don't need you because I can walk. This is a body. I don't understand where the separation came from. Well, I do understand where it came from. It came from tradition. Again, I go back to this, that Abraham built the first altar, and he was considered the father of faith. He didn't build no big building. He put a rock on top of another rock and say, look, this is what we're going to burn our sacrifices at. And he is considered the father of faith. Now, this is what we're going to get it back into it. At the end of the day, if your relationship with Christ ain't personal, it serves you no purpose. Somebody been selling you a lot of wooden nickels, and most of the time you don't serve yourself some wooden nickels because you've been destroyed by a lack of knowledge. Because just because you don't wouldn't now say, yeah, Lord, Lord, this and that, and whoop, 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 whoop. That's why he separated the sheep from the goats. And when he separated them, it's a parable in the book of Matthew, and Jesus said, many folks in the last days going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. Now, back to my story. I'm going to bring this all the way back full circle. I have done some things that I am not proud of. I have done some things that most folk will frown upon. However, there's always room for redemption.
All right now.
And I'm gonna take it so far as to this. I'm gonna go to Paul, who first originally was named Saul. He used to persecute the church, and then when I say the church, I don't mean the institution. I mean the ones that gathered together, and used to kill them. Now watch this. I'm going back to the synagogue. I'm skipping, but I'm going to bring this all the way back. The temples were built for yearly sacrifices. Most folk didn't go over there to once a year when it was time to sacrifice. This is where redemption and the body of Christ comes. This is where the real church comes in. And the only ones that used to be in the temple were the Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus told them, he said, look at him. Y'all out here reading the law, but and you're going to go get these people far and wide, but at the end, they're going to be worse off than you because of your tradition. Tradition in the old days would not allow a woman to speak in the church. But it's also, but if you go to the book of it'll come to me in a minute, but I'm gonna come back to that. But this is what it says: in the last days I shall pour out my spirit on my sons and daughters. A lot of folk now still don't like a woman preaching.
That's true.
I don't care where the truth comes from. Just tell it to me and let me do
there
what
go.
I got to do with it.
Yep. For real.
You understand me? Because if he can use a donkey, we can go back to the Old Testament. It was an old guy. He was a prophet. He was an actual prophet. And he got mad. and wanted to go cursing folk because they hurt a little poor feelings. I know a lot of pastors in the church like that. And he wanted to curse him. I'm just going to damn you to hell.
Yep.
That donkey would ride down the road, and he saw the angel up there. And the donkey said, look, man, I'm going to rub your leg against the wall, or against the mountain, rather. The man beat the donkey. This happened 3 times, and on the 3rd time, the Lord touched the donkey's mouth, and the donkey said, look here, man, I done served you well all my life. When you ask me to go out there and plow that field, and when you put that strap on my back and tie me down, I do what you ask me to do. Look up there. I'm trying to save your life. So, and I'm coming back to my story, redemption. There is nothing that you can go through that you can't get through as long as you got God with you on your side and you have said, hey, take the wheel. I'm going to do the best I can every day. Just hold me. Because the prayers of a broken and contrite heart are the sacrifices of the Lord. They are the sacrifices of the Lord.
Right.
You know
right.
why? I have no option. I have no option. I done tried this. I done tried that. I done tried that. I remember reading about Hezekiah. He was a king back in the days of Daniel. And he got sick. But he persecuted Daniel. He persecuted. This is the same guy that threw the little 3 Hebrew boys in the fire. Let me show you. See, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But when you fall into his hands, he don't break you all the time. He turns his face to the wall. And what people got to understand, Del, people look at the Bible through a theological concept. Or they look at it like Greek mythology. But these people actually existed. So when they look at it at the theological or the mythological, through a mythological glass, they forget the human factor. Now imagine yourself being on top of the world and you about to die. Don't nobody know what's wrong with you. And you done seen the little Pope, man. You done beat the sleep. You got him in jail for nothing. Because he didn't do what you asked him to do or told him to do. But somehow, when he talk about his God, his eyes light up, even though he was about to starve to death. And he could defy you with the most defiance ever. And you got to go to him, that God that he talk about. And I can't say nothing. The only thing I might can do is moan. Because it says in the book of Romans that the Spirit knows, God knows before you even ask what need you have of. And the Spirit groans. You understand?
Yeah,
so what that
yeah.
means is sometimes I can't express the words of how I feel. You know how many times I laid my face to the wall and just, going back to what's within. The Spirit of God is something. I'm going to put it to you like this. No empire was ever built without a grain of mud or dirt without just one grain. Because every brick in there came from a compilation of grain. That's why he says you got the faith the size of a mustard seed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you. But people have this idea that God is, he's an on-time God, that he is. But see, he got 3 ounces because you don't know what lane you in. It's a yes, no, and not yet. And see, when they get them not yets and them no's, they're just so downcast. But you ain't put yourself in a position to line yourself up in his will. A child with a disrespectful child, I don't know how many people listening, but if I ask you this question, can a disrespectful child get anything from you?
Not from me. Maybe somebody
exactly.
else.
Exactly.
Not here.
Right. Right. You know, and a disrespectful child would never get anything from me. But God showed his love saying, look, my uncle used to tell me this all the time. I'm going to take you out of the barn, but I'm going to leave you in the pasture. And what that means is this. Hey, you need to tighten up. I've got something for you.
Yeah.
I got something for you. Just listen to me. Again, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You sitting up there listening to this man, even though you don't even know whether he anointed or appointed, because you ain't got to know me yourself. See, there's a difference in blind faith. People always talk about they got blind faith, or either they say, yeah, God know my heart. Yeah, he do. And it's black as coal.
Wow.
I'm being serious.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
How can you have a relationship with somebody you don't know? This is why the church is within you, because this is personal. I ain't never seen a drowning man in a pool being saved by a structure. Unless it fell and he had to reach up there and pick one of the steel beams and crawl out.
That's why you say the church can't save you, right?
That's right. An institution can't save you. Knowing a Bible verse, and guess this is the first one they always come up with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then they can't go no farther. Or then they'll say, well, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why? Tell me why. And no, can't nobody go no farther than that. But in my life, I've seen death many a time. A couple of times I tried to call my own. You know, really, I'm being serious. But it was always something in me, and his voice said, not today, I've got something for you.
Wow.
It ain't going to be tomorrow either, but I'm going to go back to this, because he say, if you should, I shall. If you should, I shall. And that's a promise. See, this is where blind faith comes in. See, because people don't understand, there's 3 types of blind faith. There's the faith you got in your pastor, there's the faith you got in your mama, and there's the faith you got, whether you got somebody laying beside you or not. That's the faith you got in them. But the fourth one is the greatest one of all. And my friend, which is supposed to be my best, because I am a jealous God, so don't put nothing before me. This is what blind faith that can create anything that you want out of life.
So you don't count yourself in that, Sante?
Yes, I count myself in that.
Okay.
And I was finna get to that.
Okay.
See, everybody got a Judas spirit. And that Judas spirit will allow you not only to betray Christ, but to betray yourself.
Yep.
And it ain't necessarily for 30 pieces of silver. It's the fact that, and I'm going to tell you what my betrayal is before I talk about anybody else's.
Okay.
Sometimes I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. And don't care what anybody else think about how I want to do it.
Right.
But I have come to the realization that I can't do this by myself. David was a man after God's own heart. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. They say David was a good-looking man, you know, not real tall, not real short, but he had a couple of brothers. At this time, the people of Israel were trying to find a king. Now, David was a sheep herder. You know how many lonely nights he faced out there? You know, when his daddy Jesse was having parties and you didn't think he couldn't see them campfires burning? So this is what, again, we're talking about personal and the church in you. How do you think he learned how to play the harp? All them lonely nights. We're still talking about redemption, too. All of this tie in together.
Yeah, yeah.
When they went and asked Jesse, David's dad, and say, look, one of your sons going to be king. Samuel came down now. Said, one of your sons going to be king. And he brought all the big tall ones out, say, well, and Samuel said, it ain't now one of these cats. They be, no. See, because there's something in the heart. And what did they call David? A man after God's own heart. So it had to be something within David. And David had to go through a lot of things. You remember when he killed the lion and the bear and the wolf?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that was a struggle?
Mm.
See, we have lions and bears and wolves in our lives that we allow to kill us. And I'm speaking about the people in the church, not just the institution. And that's that Judas spirit in us.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we'll give over the doubt. We'll give over to being relaxed. When you step up a little bit, you'll get relaxed. And before you know it, the wolf done came in and stole 5 sheep. And what he say? I leave 99 just to go get one. Now let's go back to this anointing that is disappointed. And I'm going to use David again for this. The difference between Saul and David was this. before I got popular, I was down on my luck, and God is the only thing that brought me up. Saul ain't never been down because he stood two heads above everybody else. Looks are so deceiving, and I'm saying this for two reasons. Looks are so deceiving that the guy that ain't got nothing, the lady that ain't got nothing, because your gifts don't always make you rich. They enrich the lives of other people.
Go back to
when Elijah went to that old poor lady and he said, "Look, man, I need some water. And while you at it, bring me some bread." And that's in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, I think. And she said, "Look, I bring some water, but I ain't, what little bread I got is just for me and my son. And he's sickly. Soon as the Lord liveth, he's sickly. But watch this." He say, "Look, I don't know if you know who I am. I ain't even going to tell you who I am. But just as the Lord liveth, if you help me, God got you." And she did. And she moved on faith. And when the son died, didn't he lay on him? Her son died. He laid on him and brought him back to life. Now watch this. "No, I'm not rich. I ain't got a thing. But I got what I need." Did that jar of meal ever run out? No, it didn't. See, because a great man is not great because of what he obtains.
Yes.
A great man is great because of what he does with what he obtains.
That's right.
You can hear many stories about somebody. Rich people that have come through this world, and they say, "Man, he ain't worth a hill of beans." But you got old little poor white lady over here, little poor black lady, little poor Japanese. Man, she was just as good as gold. And the lies that they affected to make somebody better.
Yes.
Now we're going back to the institution. I can't see for the life of me, how is it possible for me to have an ATM in my church and still
you
got
an ATM?
Somebody? Yeah, yes.
Like
an
the
ATM
bank
in
called
my
cash
church.
Machine, like.
Like a bank. Right.
I just want to get it straight.
Yes, ma'am. An ATM. Like when you go in and put a card in now and you get some money out of it.
Yep, okay.
And I ain't got people that can buy food. How was that possible? Now,
yes.
I don't wanna call out anybody. But I wanna say this. With everything that's going on, I'm just going to say it. You want me to be truthful?
Please
with
don't
everything
hold
that's
back
going
now.
On,
no, sir.
With everything that's going on, how is it possible that we have never had, now we have all of these black mega churches. I don't know anything about banking. I don't. But I'm going to give you a scenario. When Prince and Quincy Jones tried to start a distributing company for music, they wouldn't allow them. They tried to put an antitrust suit on them. So,
right.
However, now the church is an institution, so why isn't this institution saying, Okay, let's start us a bank. You know, because when you go back and look at the Book of Acts, and even before the Book of Acts, people did give, and I don't mind about giving this 10%, but you got to give it to the church and not the institution.
Mm.
If the institution ain't having the church.
You better say that one again, I think. You repeat it.
Did you understand what I said? You got to give it to the church and not the institution.
Mm.
See, because when I pay my tithe, and I do, people that know me know I do, because I might see somebody struggling. Now, you can't give everything to everybody.
Yes, yes.
You know.
Yes.
You know, because there was a lady said her son was sick, and Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast thy pearls unto the swine, lest they use them as a testimony against you, but lest they trample them on the feet and use them as a testimony against you." And what that means is people will use you. They will.
Oh, yeah.
They will use everything against you as far as your words, as far as how you living, as far as how you ain't living. As long as they can get something out you, they gonna get it.
Yeah.
A little leaven levels the whole lump. And this is why Moses got mad and couldn't see the promised land. Well, he saw the promised land. This is why he didn't make it into the promised land. And I say this to some of the pastors, if any listening, you can't give everything to everybody. Now, you become everything to everybody, but you can't give everything to everybody. And what I mean by becoming everything to everybody is this. Paul said, to the Jew I became as a Jew, to the Gentile as a Gentile, as one without the law, as one without the law, though having the law of Christ severed in my heart. And what that means is, and I'm going to take it back this way too, I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm everything you need. And right now you might need to tell what. You know, right now you might need to be cut off. And I don't mean cut off from me.
Right.
But put in a dark place so that you can see the light that I have put in you.
Wow.
That's where my journey took me, with half of my life in jail.
Mm.
Now, don't get me wrong.
And I was very rich, because a lot of people don't get that. That's never been confined. You know what I'm saying? Like, it to me, your story is so rich and so powerful because you took advantage of the lessons that you were learning. And you study them, you know, like you know why it happened. You know the gifts that you got out of it. And we don't do that. You know, like when everything going good, we be like, hey, hey, ho, ho, you know, whatever. And we go into those jobs every day and we're getting those paychecks or, you know, we're in the street, whatever we're doing, but we're not getting the richness of the message that you have. A lot of people can't do that, you know. They can't come and share the word like you're doing.
Well, and
share
see,
the
that's
wisdom.
Because, that's because, again, it goes back to two things. Well, three, actually. When a lot of, okay, if you ask somebody, I think I already done said that, but I'm going to reiterate this again.
Okay.
If you ask somebody, did you read your Bible today? They say, yeah. I say, well, what did you read? Oh, I read Psalms 23. I read Psalms 51, Psalms 91. That's not personal. Okay, that's the number one reason. The number two reason is, and it hinges on the number one reason, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And the number three reason is, I'm looking to a man or an institution to save my life. This ain't personal to me. This is something that I've been taught through tradition. And you never take the time to make it personal. Every man must walk out his own salvation in fear and trembling. Now, of course, I don't know if your walk going to be like my walk, but I do know that I have to make it personal with God.
Yeah, yeah.
See, because a lot of people will say, man, I prayed today. What did you do? I just asked him to look over me and do this. That's not what prayer consists of. That's a part of it. But prayer consists of saying, look, I know you got me. You know, one of the most thought out, well, I ain't going to say thought out, the one of the most profound prayers I've ever heard, well, I've ever read prayed, was the prayer of Solomon. Solomon say, look, I'm a young child, man. I've been granted king. And you got to understand what he was going through at this time. His brother was trying to kill his daddy and actually almost succeeded. And David, his father, told everybody, look, see, they were moving a human factor, so I'm going to put it back in here. David told his partners and all the folks that was riding with him, look, leave my son alone. Let me handle that. But when David's top general saw his son, he killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And David had him killed. So I'm looking at all of this. See, the point that I'm trying to make is the bloodshed. It's been a war going on, I think it was for about 4 or 5 years where David was on the run. Ain't nothing but bloodshed and everybody separated. Now I'm coming to this throne and I don't know what to do. They still over there riding with this fascist over here. These other folks over here talking about they want this. And here I am, a little young man that's been crowned king. Lord, help me. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to do. Here I was outside. I don't know what type of games they played, but I'm just going to use the modern day game. Here I was outside playing football, basketball, soccer, and ice hockey. And then all this nonsense broke out. And then after all the nonsense done broke out, you want me to oversee this? Moses, a man that talked to God himself, seen him. And when I say talk to him, I want to say he seen him. Because he said, I'm going to allow you my backside to pass through. And that's when he came down off the mountain with the veil on. The glory of God is so powerful that when you believe in it, again, no empire has ever been built without a grain of sand, without a grain of mud. Not one. Where do bricks come from? Where do stones come from? It's just sand that's been pressed down. A mud that's been pressed down. Limestone that's been pressed down. But it started with a single grain. And again, we're talking about the church within. So, I mean, let me touch a little deeper on that. it's all coming full circle. We have a tendency to treat God like a hog.
Like a hog?
Yeah. H-O-G.
Okay.
No, I don't eat pig feet, but I eat a pork chop. No, I don't eat chitlin, but I eat pig ear. No, I don't eat chitlin, but I eat a rockfish, you know, the little sausage dog deal. That's filled inside the intestines of the hog. You
right,
want to try
right.
to dissect it instead of taking it all.
Hmm.
And this is what the this is what the church institution has done. See, because everybody got their own message instead of telling it all. See, one man gonna talk about faith, the other man gonna talk about fire and brimstone, the other man gonna talk about obedience, and the other man gonna talk about making sacrifices. No, it's a holistic approach to this. I can't call anybody my friend if I don't accept them.
Yep.
Completely.
Yeah.
And if we go back to when Jesus walked this earth, he said this. He said, look, I don't know who they say I am. I ain't even worried about it. And he's talking to the 12. He said, but who do you say I am?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, those 12 would start a movement that would become the church, not the institution.
Yes, yes.
Saul, on his way from Damascus or to Damascus, going to go persecute some people for believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Fell off his horse and had cataracts. I'm going to call them cataracts. You know, a lot of people have their own different opinions and perspectives. And the same man that would have been in that gathering had to save him. What I'm trying to say is this. You can never judge a book by its cover just because you're behind the pulpit or you sitting in the front pew. If God ain't in you, he just ain't in you. I used to do a little teaching while I was in prison. And I often use the mop bucket and a little styrofoam cup for illustration. And what I would do is just drop the styrofoam cup in the bucket and it would just float. You see my illustration right now?
Right, right.
Okay. But then after that, I would scoop water in the cup and let it sink to the ground and it would stand. There's a difference between you being around God and God being in you.
All right.
Because when no water, and that's how the Spirit of God is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why David says my cup overflowed. Mm-hmm. He didn't say my cup was just flowing. He said my cup overrunneth.
Yeah.
It overran because somebody pulled something in me and I was receptive to what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted
it. Personal relationship.
Right. I put myself in line to accept everything that God had for me. Now, does my personal relationship mean that it's going to be all peaches and creams? No. No. And see, this is where the twist comes in. And everything stems from three things. And I know this to be true all the way around the board for myself and for me looking at other people. Number one, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I want to say this, and I want to say this. I'll speak this till I die. Because you're looking at somebody else to teach you something that you can learn for yourself. Because guess what gossip is? That's somebody teaching you something about somebody else that you don't even know.
You better say that again.
And you automatically going to form an opinion.
Yep.
Without even talking to that person or even trying to investigate it. And you're going to be stuck in it. Until you have a real encounter with them. Goes back to this Judas spirit. When the disciples were with him one day, and I'm going to show you something about this Judas spirit. It ain't always, again, the 30 pieces of silver. They ask him, well, who going to sit by your right hand? And he say, well, that ain't for me to decide. That's for my father. They all got mad looking at each other. See, you got to remember the human factor. Why would they ask that question? And I'm going to go back to the betrayal. Why would they ask that question? Somebody caused the vision somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to cause the vision somewhere.
Yep.
And then division, guess what stirs up? Anger.
Yeah.
Strife.
Yeah.
Malice. Pride. Sadness sometimes. And longing. Depending on the character of the man or woman. We have become so divided in this institution of church.
Hmm.
That people don't understand the wholeness of the church or the body of the church. I don't care how many members you got. I don't care how many times you go to church. Most folks only go on Easter and
Mother's Day.
What's the other holiday? Yeah, sometime around there, you know, and they buy this little fancy suit and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
No, the other one is Family and Friends Day. For real.
Yeah, look, I'm with you.
And then the same people that say, God know my heart.
Yeah. Yep.
How? Yeah, I know he knows it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to talk about myself before I talk about anybody else. And I know I have my own flaws and my faults. However, every day I try to work on. Do I succeed every day? No, I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am someone that has been called his friend. I am someone that has been anointed and not appointed. Because even at my worst, I can still tell you that God loves you, and I can explain to you why.
Yes.
Because he loved me, and I don't know if he loved you before he loved me, but he loved me, and I'm going to tell you what he done for me. And it ain't because he done gave me a lot of riches. He's trying to give me a peace of mind.
Yes, yes. Yeah. The biggest riches in the world right there.
Right. My life has been spared. When we talk about this 10-year thing, my first plea was 105 years.
Ooh.
17 years old, and I told my lawyer, I say, public defender, I say, shoot, I'll be dead in 20.
Okay.
I never at this, go ahead.
No, I was just repeating the number that you said, 107 years.
No, 105.
105, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let me give you two more.
Oh. And I said, I'll be dead in 20. I'll be dead in 20. At this time, I had already surpassed an age that most folks had already died, especially from the type of lifestyle that I live.
We weren't expected to
make it to 16, 17 years old.
I know. Yep.
But at the end of the day, when you have an encounter, and my encounter came at a young age, so, but I tried to shake it off. I remember one time I was, and I'm going to say this because I want to be transparent. See, because ain't nothing about me hidden.
Okay.
I remember one time I was in a shelter, and somebody very close to me wasn't around. See, I'm going to only tell my part because their part has, you know, it might be something they want to tell.
Right.
And for some reason, I don't know why or where I heard it from, you know, and I honestly can't even tell you the reason why I did it. But after that, things did start to look up. They weren't the best, but they weren't the worst. See, because I remember hearing reading a thing that said, I complained about having no shoes until I saw the man with no feet.
Right.
But let me carry on. To this institution. How is it possible? I know you do your turkey drives and you do your you might fix a sandwich or two once a week. And I'm gonna go back to another old saying, if you give a man a fish, you fed him for a day. But if you teach him how to fish, he can feed himself for a lifetime.
Right, right.
What I see in my mind, and you see how, I ain't got to tell you how corrupt some of these people are. And I'm not blaming the whole institution, but I'm trying to get people away from the institution instead of, and get into this in spiritual and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how God has to be worshipped. It's not how long you can pray. I went to a church one time and the man was singing while he was praying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on.
And I'm glad
you
know getting to that, you know, because I think you've brought a lot of knowledge out, and we're down to about 10 minutes left in the show. And I didn't want to cut you off at any point in time. However, with this being the end of the show, I do believe that people are perhaps needing some kind of guidelines. Like, so how do they create that church within themselves? Because, you know, the institutions have
mm-hmm.
operated in a way which make you dependent upon them for your thoughts.
That's
around
true.
Religion, around scripture, around all of that. And there are very few that encourage a person to create the church within them. And I'm just loving that, because that is truly the whole power of the connection with the Creator. So,
okay.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just going to say you got about 8 minutes left in the show. So,
okay. This is what I suggest. Number one, you can't have a friend if you don't know a friend. And you can't have God without accepting Jesus Christ in your life. So number one, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. I want to be on your team. And I'm just trying to, you know, break it down as quickly as possible. Start at the book of Matthew 33, because a lot of people will confuse the law with the liberty of faith, even though they go hand in hand, because at the end of the day, if I love you, I'm not going to do nothing to disrespect you.
Exactly.
Number two. I guess that was number two. Number three, surround yourself with people that are not judgmental. Now, there's a difference between being judgmental and being constructive criticism. So surround yourself with people that will try to build you up instead of tearing you down. Start at the book of Matthew, verse 18. And that first describes the life of Jesus Christ. Learn to know who he was, what he stood for, and what he did. And then after that, you can go back. And if you can't read, get somebody to read it for you. Because at the end of the day, your longing will be met with his longing to know you.
Mm. That's beautiful. I like how you said that.
And another thing, you are not perfect. We are not perfect. We are not excluded just because you are a member of the body of Christ. You are not excluded from failing. They called David a man after God's own heart, but he had a man killed for his wife. So it don't matter what you've ever done. You always have room for redemption when you come to repentance.
Mm.
See, because a godly heart will always lead you to repentance. And some things keep to yourself and God. Because everybody
yes.
don't need to know everything.
Yes.
Now, when it's time for you to break them out, break them out. But keep your knapsack with you and lay on them things sometimes. Give it to God. Give it to God, but lay on them
okay.
things sometimes. Because when
Love
you
it.
Lay on them, you don't want to do them again.
yeah.
You know, oh, I wish I had more time, but it's okay. I am.
We're
going
to have to bring you back. That's all. So, okay. So let me ask you one question that I didn't get because I think I got just wrapped up listening. So you were saying in reading the Bible, there are three things that you need to do to make it more meaningful. And you said people fail to take it personal, so they don't personalize it. They don't. They just kind of reading it to read the words kind of deal. And then they depend on the institution or the pastor to save their life, and so they're not getting the meaning. And what was the third thing that you said with regard to reading the Bible?
The human factor.
Okay.
The human factor. See, I'm gonna go back to Peter. He was one of the disciples. He walked with Jesus. And Peter was a very aggressive man. And what I want you to understand, oh, I'm glad you asked that. What I want you to understand, your flaws and faults are the very same thing that will bring you closer to God, because those are the same things that he will make, that he will allow you to use to change somebody else's life. See, because how many pastors can you go to and say, man, I wanted to kill somebody today, and I'm just being blunt, and they're going to give you an answer like, well, look, God said don't kill. No. I'm around the wrong person.
Yep.
I'm around because if God says I am that I am, he's going to give me an answer that's sufficient enough for how I'm feeling. That's why it's got to be personal.
Yeah. You're right.
That's why I got to surround myself with people that are going to be, they don't have to be like-minded. They have to. His grace is sufficient for you in your times of need. And if I ain't around somebody that can help me in Christ that can be sufficient for me in my times of need, then I don't need to be around them.
Yes, sir.
So the human factor, the most important thing. Well, no, the lack of knowledge is the most important thing. The human factor is next. Thirdly, don't look at any man more highly than you ought. Blind faith will lead you to a car crash. I don't care how many times you play Jesus Take the Wheel. If you're driving down the road and you take your hand off the wheel, guess what you're going to do? Wreck.
Yep. For sure. Ooh, look, Sante, I know you. I don't know. We've got like 2 minutes left. And you wanted to do that that piece that you have written, Rainbows and Mud Puddles. Is that enough time for you? Can you do it in 2 minutes, or you gonna have to come back and do it?
I'll try.
Okay.
I'll try.
All right.
I've never seen a rose flourish through the concrete. Neither have I dug up my roots. But what I testify to now is purely the truth. Now, to Maya and Alex, I do tilt my hat. But what I've seen was much more divine than any of that. Now, Alex, please don't misunderstand, for I found strength in your family's pain. And to Maya, I say this. I know all too well why the cage bird sings. Now, what I'm about to tell you only happened yesterday. Pay close attention as I explain it, for you see it happened this way. I was staring at the world through a razor wire fence, standing in the rain, my tears concealed in it. I was thinking of my life as I looked out at the sky, wondering how much more I'd have to suffer before he saw fit for me to die. I bowed my head and I began to pray, "Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, please show me the way. For you are the great I am that has set the captives free. You made the lame to walk and you caused the blind to see. Lord, I know that I'm not perfect, but I ask that you have pity upon this bastard kid. Judge me not according to my sins, but by thy mercies and what Jesus did." My shoulders began to shake and my knees hit the dirt. All my pride had been washed away, I know, when I planted my face in the earth. I was at the bottom of the barrel, or should I say the end of my rope. But then something peculiar happened. The wind began to blow. I wasn't quite sure, but I thought I heard a voice, not with the ear, but from the pit of my heart. I listened closely, and the voice seemed to say, "Be not afraid, my child, for it is me, the one you seek." "Open your eyes," he said, and I did as I was told. What I saw was astonishing. In the muck puddles, there were rainbows. I wanted to speak, but I quickly disregarded the thought. No, I missed. Hold on. I wanted to speak, but I was too stricken with awe. I wanted to test him, but quickly disregarded the thought. Again, I heard the voice, and it seemed to say, "Go ahead, my child, test them, for they won't fade away." I did, and they didn't. It was just as he said. Again, I began to cry, bowing my head. You see, I couldn't help it, for this was something truly divine. And then he spoke again for the third time. "My son, you are chosen, fishing for you in your times of need. Right now you're suffering because I want to teach you to stand while on bending knees. Just relinquish your fears and give yourself to me, and in the midst of your storms and turmoils, I shall give you peace. For just as John the Baptist was, so you should be, a voice crying in the wilderness, for I bless you with the ability to speak. Go out into the world and tell all of my love, for you are like these rainbows in the puddles of mud, a place filled with darkness, a place filled with sin, but I placed you here to be a light therein. Just do as I would and remember these words. You have a voice. If you speak, you must be heard. Remember the rainbows and mud puddles too, for they are a covenant between myself and you." Rainbows and mud puddles.
Yes, yes.
That's it.
Oh, my God. That is cool. Yes, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, man. Fonte, you are incredible, and we are so blessed that you took time to share so freely of yourself with us. I know I got just notes all over and broke it down. You broke it down in such a way that we can take what the knowledge that you were sharing with us and apply it to our lives. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for workable solutions to turn our lives around if that's what we're searching for. And you definitely brought that to us. We're a little bit over time, which is okay, but can you just give people contact information? Like, are you on Facebook or Instagram, or how can people get in contact with you?
I am on Facebook. My handle is I Am The Voice Kenny, and that's it. If you want my phone number, you can call. and the phone number is 444-454-1344-454. I can't even remember my phone number right now. I'm sorry.
454-1328, guys. I didn't know if that was the number or not. 404-454-1328. We thank you so much, and we're going to go ahead and release this, but we're going to have you come back on with us again. And thank you for being with us tonight. I tell you, you've opened my eyes and my heart to a lot of different
new ways, not really new, but different ways of looking at situations and being able to help other people. So thank you for your wisdom and your courage to share your story so widely with us.
Well, I thank you for having me, and I'm sorry for being nervous, but thank you for having
me. I don't know where that came from, because I ain't heard no nervousness.
None whatsoever.
So, no, you were absolutely fabulous. Thank you. We appreciate it.
No,
and we
you.
Didn't even have time, you know, for anybody with a question or anything. So we'll have you back, though. All right?
Thanks. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thanks,
thank
everybody,
you.
For joining with us. And we'll see you next week.
Well,
how do you know?